If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to go to Philippians chapter 3. How many has ever planned a vacation or planned to take a trip? And maybe you looked at pictures of where you wanted to go. Maybe you got information about where it is that you wanted to go. Maybe you looked on the map to see if you're going to drive there, or if you needed to fly, you have to make arrangements, right? Well, how many know that we have a destination at the end of our life? And right now is the planning stage, all right? And our destination is heaven. Did you know that earth is not your home? We have a home that's in heaven. And we're just passing through this earth. And when we're finished running our course and doing what God wants us to do, and when we leave this life, there is a home waiting for us. And it's beyond reason. And today I just want to talk to you about how heaven is your home. Amen? Now, how many people want to go there? See, now when you go to heaven, you can't pack clothes. You can't take money or a credit card with you. But there's one thing that you can take with you. You know what that is? You can take people with you. Amen? You can't take goods. You can't take things. But you can make sure that people will be joining you in heaven. How do you do that? You share Jesus with them. Amen? And in Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to look at verses 20 and 21. It says, "For our conversation or our citizenship is in heaven." Did you know? See, I'm a citizen of heaven. Okay? "From where we also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself." So one, you know, heaven is our citizenship, and one day Jesus is going to return, and when he returns, we're going to be caught up with him in the air, we're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye, and then we're going to spend eternity with him forever. And I want to make sure that I take as many people to heaven as want to go. Amen? We have open invitations. The flight has not been filled. There's still a seat for you. And if you want to get to heaven, you can get there. Amen? But you got to make a decision about today, while you're living on this earth. When you leave this earth, it's too late. If you haven't decided where you're going to go, it's too late. Amen? But we have a home in heaven. We are citizens in heaven. So what we're going to endeavor to do this month is we're just going to share some things about heaven. What's there? Who's there? And we're going to hear some eyewitnesses of accounts, people who saw there. And we know from people in the Bible, they've been there. Actually, they went there. Amen? And so I want to get you a picture of heaven in your minds. But I want to prepare you to also bring people with you. Amen? And I want you to look at two passages of Scripture in Matthew 9 and in Luke 5. Okay? Earlier this year, we did a Matthew class. And we had about six or seven people come to the Matthew class. And we equipped them with the tools that they need to do what Matthew did. All right, look at verse 9 for me for a minute, and then we'll get into our message here, but I really felt this on my heart. And as Jesus passed forth from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, "Follow me." And he arose and followed him. Matthew worked for the IRS. He was an IRS agent, and he was at a booth, and they would take taxes, take customs. And Jesus was in his ministry, and Jesus saw him. And all Jesus said to him was two words, follow me. And those two words impacted Matthew's life. And he arose and he followed him. Now look at verse 10. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans, or IRS agents, and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And the Pharisees saw it, and they said to his disciples, why does your master eat with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go and learn what this means. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am come not to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. Now go to Luke 5. Luke 5 and verse 27. What happened was, Matthew so much loved Jesus that he had a party at his house. And he invited his friends who were sinners. He invited his business associates. He invited people that he knew. And he wanted them to meet Jesus too. Because Jesus had impacted his life in such a way that he wanted them to meet Jesus. So he threw this party. And in Luke 5:27, it says, and after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of customs, and he said unto him, follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. So all I'm saying this to say is this. It's a good opportunity to celebrate our Easter, our Resurrection Day service, by bringing someone, amen, that needs Jesus. Do you know anybody that needs Jesus? Well, bring them here, amen. Let them come and hear the words of life. Okay. Go with me to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Each one of us are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. We don't belong to the United Nations. We reside right here on planet Earth. And we, each one of us, represent heaven. Say, I'm a representative of heaven. And how you live and what, no, you don't have to say that. How you live, what you do, and the things you say will either bring someone closer to heaven or set someone to be against heaven. Amen? But I want you to know that heaven has been a place that is prepared for you. Jesus took great care to prepare a place for you. In John 14:1, he says this, let not your hearts be troubled. If you ever wanted a good news message, it's entitled, Let Not Your Hearts Be Troubled. So whose decision is it if your heart is troubled? Jesus is telling his disciples, let not your heart be troubled. His ministry was winding down. He was getting ready to die on a cross and raise from the dead and ascend into heaven. And he says, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Say, many mansions. And he said, if it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Right now, Jesus is preparing a place for each one of us. He is building a place, and he is designing it according to what we like. And as we follow him, as we serve him, we are sending him the material in which to build with. Amen? But he says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. So not only is he going to prepare a place for you, but when the time is right, he's going to come back and we're going to meet him in the air. Amen? And we're going to be with the Lord forever and ever in heaven. because he's going to come and receive him, receive us to himself. That where he is, he said, that where I am, there you may be also. Can you see God's heart? God wants you there with him. He wants you to have a place in heaven. But it's going to take faith here to get to heaven. Amen? You can't get to heaven by being a good person. You can't get to heaven by being just a billionaire. You can't get to heaven by going to church. You can't get to heaven based on what your relatives do or don't do. You can only get to heaven one way, and that is to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That is to accept Jesus into your heart as your Savior and to dedicate the rest of your life to following him and serving him and doing his will. Amen? But I want you to know that he is preparing a place for you. He's building you a place, and where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not where you go, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus is the only way. Amen? But I want you to know that heaven is a place that has been prepared for you. Okay? Don't let God prepare in vain. Amen? If you have accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, then you need to be as fervent and as passionate in following him that you were in following the devil. Oh, you didn't realize that before you knew Christ, you were following the devil. Before I knew Christ, I was following the devil. Didn't matter what kind of person I was, if Jesus wasn't, until Jesus became my Savior by my invitation, I was following the devil. And he would have led me down a dead end. But now I follow a lamb. Amen? Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You're going to see a lot of scriptures today because the best description on heaven is the Bible. Amen? And I'm not going to give you everything today. I'm not going to give you everything next week. Amen? We're just going to touch on some things. I mean, people have gone to heaven. There have been books that have been written about heaven. Heaven is for real. My time in heaven. There's others. 90 minutes in heaven. There's all kinds of books about people who live in today who have had experiences with heaven. Heaven is real. Heaven is a place that has been created for you. So look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved. What's he talking about? Your earthly house, your body. Did you realize that every one of us have an earth suit? Just like an astronaut needs a space suit when they go into space, God has given us an earth suit. It's called our physical body. And within our physical body, the real you lives. But your body is simply the home that you live in. Amen? So when this earthly house dissolved, we have a building of God. A house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Now, if you get excited about this message, it's okay to shout. It's okay to show some emotion, amen? I mean, how can you not get excited when you talk about heaven? So we have a building of God, a house. Isn't that awesome? When God builds you his house, he doesn't use hands. How does God build? He uses his words. You have a house, a building of God, not made with hands in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. when Jesus comes back again, he's going to pay every one of our earthly mortgages, and we're going to get a brand new house. We're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. This corruption is going to put on incorruption, and we're going to be like him. See, you need an earth suit to be on earth, but you need a heaven suit to be in heaven. And your body is going to be transformed. It's going to be, you're going to get a glorified body. Well, we know some things about a glorified body. Jesus had a glorified body and he ate. He was able to show up in a room when the door was closed. He was able to be here and then to be somewhere else. Amen. He just showed up. So in the meantime, we're groaning until that day comes. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, and for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that has wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also has given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Now guess what? What we have right now is simply a down payment of what's to come. And if what we have now is good, can you imagine how good it's going to be when our upgrade comes? Amen? When he gives us the full thing and not just a down payment. So heaven is a place prepared for you. It's a building not made with hands. It's God's house that he designed for you, and it's in heaven. Amen? Hallelujah. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And we're going to look at verses 9 and 10. We can learn something about Abraham. In verse 9 of Hebrews 11, it says, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac, Jacob, and the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Not only are we going to have a house, but our house is going to be in a city. And God built our house, and the same contractor also built the city. Now you got to think for a moment. Abraham walked through the land of promise. God had promised him land. He promised him that he was going to get a land flowing with milk and honey. That was his promise throughout generations. And so Abraham, he walked through that land while he was having a relationship with God, while he was believing God, while he was worshiping God, because everywhere that Abraham went, he built an altar in every place that he went. Now guess what? You and I, we are in a strange country. Earth is not our home. Each one of us are legal aliens. And we don't have a green card, but we have a Bible card. We have a Holy Ghost card. We have, our paperwork has been written in God's word. And now we're walking through this land, and we're living by faith because we know that where we are is not where we're going to end up. So we're living for a purpose. We're living for a greater cause. And we got a purpose. We got a cause. And guess what? God will use you to influence people just like he used Abraham. And there's going to come a time and place when our walk here is going to finish. And once our walk is finished, then we can go home joyfully and confidently. Let me read you some quotes that people have said. Here's what Billy Graham said. My home is in heaven. I'm just traveling through this world. Would that change how you live? If you know that this is not all there is, would it change how you interact with people? Would it inspire you to overcome any obstacle of sharing the gospel with them when you know that this isn't our home? There is a home for the wicked. And it's not heaven, it's called hell. It was not originally designed for man, but because men have given place to the devil, they also are included in his home. And it's not pleasant. But I'm not here to talk about hell today. But there is a hell to shun, there is a heaven to gain. Here's what D.L. Moody said. Someday, you will read in the papers that D.L. Moody of East Northfield is dead. Don't you believe a word of it. At that moment, I shall be more alive than I am now. I shall have gone up higher. That is all, out of this old clay tenement into a house that is immortal, a body that death cannot touch, that sin cannot taint, a body fashioned like unto a glorious body. Isn't that awesome? When you know that heaven is your home, it takes all the fear out of dying whatsoever. Death is simply a promotion for the believer. It's a transference from this place to that place. Amen? C.S. Lewis said, joy is the serious business of heaven. I'll tell you what, there's joy in heaven. You know, the angels throw a party over one person accepting Jesus Christ as their Savior here on this earth. You know, heaven knows what's going on spiritually. How many know that as we speak right now, there is a great cloud of witnesses in the grandstands of heaven, and they're looking down on our affairs, and they're cheering everybody who walks by faith and not by sight. They're cheering everybody who follows the Lord with all their heart and all their soul and all their strength. They're cheering us as we go ahead and obey God's will. There's a grandstand in heaven that is watching us and cheering us on and waiting for us to get there so that they can receive us with them. So that means we better be about the Father's business now. Don't think that you can put off the Father's business until some later date. What is the Father's business? Seeking those who are lost. It doesn't matter if you're a carpenter or a mechanic or a teacher or a doctor. It doesn't matter what you do for work. What matters is how you live your life. What matters is what kind of influence do you have on other people? Do you realize that your testimony could be the difference between a life sentence or a death sentence? Henry Ward Beecher said this, "Heaven will be inherited by every man who has heaven in his soul." Do you have heaven in your soul? Hallelujah. Let's go on. We saw that we are citizens in heaven. And next week, we're going to learn how to be registered for heaven. Did you know that there's a registry in heaven? It's called the Book of Life. And every person who calls on the name of Jesus, their name is written in that book. And at the end, those books are going to be opened. And I hope that you've made your reservation for heaven today. Amen? Don't leave here today if you haven't made your reservation for heaven. Make sure that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Look at verses 13 through 16 in Hebrews 11. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. How many know that heaven is God's country? And he has prepared a city for us. I'll tell you what, heaven is the most beautiful and magnificent place, where it combines all the glories and all the colors and all the things here 10 times, 20 times, 100 times better. Amen? There's no darkness in heaven. There's no sorrow in heaven. There are no tears in heaven. He's going to wipe away all your tears. Amen? And we're going to worship the Lamb forever and ever and ever and ever. We're going to sing songs. We're going to praise Jesus. We're going to do things in heaven. Amen? We're going to have responsibilities. We're going to have assignments in heaven. And and everybody who's there wants to be there. Everybody who's there has made a choice to be there. Amen? There's not going to be any interference with your walk with God there. So they were looking for a city. Go with me to Revelation 22. Revelation 22. This is just a glimpse of the beauty of heaven. And I know that our words can't really describe to the degree that it needs to be described, but I'll tell you what, God can take these words and the Holy Spirit can paint you a picture. Amen? I don't know about you, but I want to go to heaven. And I've made my decision now. You've got to book in advance. You can't wait till the last minute. Revelation 22, verses 1 through 5. He showed me a pure river of water of life. There are rivers in heaven, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street, there are streets in heaven. Be sure that you have an address in heaven. I'd like to come visit you when you get there. Amen? And we'll have a party. And on either side of the river was there trees of life. There are trees in heaven, which bear 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. So imagine the trees in heaven are yielding fruit every month. You can pick fresh fruit every month. And they're next to the river of life that flows out of the throne of God. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There's healing in these trees. And there shall be no more curse. Say amen to that. Say no more curse. Woo, I'm looking for a curse-free living. You know, in America, it's popular to have smoke-free environment. Well, heaven's going to be a curse-free environment. There can't be any curse happening there or spoken there. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. So there's a throne in heaven. Okay? And his servants shall serve him. There's going to be people serving the King in heaven. Okay? There's going to be activity in heaven. You don't become an angel when you go to heaven. You're not going to sit riding a cloud playing a harp in heaven. Now, there are harpers in heaven, but you're not going to get wings and become an angel in heaven. That's not what happens. You're going to go as a person in heaven. You're going to be known in heaven. People are going to know you. You're going to know people. So they're going to be servants serving the King. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be. Listen, how many are looking forward to seeing his face? I'm looking forward to seeing the face of Jesus and not exploding. Amen? Oh, if you were to see him in all his glory right now, you probably wouldn't be able to handle it. You read about everybody that an angel or someone appeared to them. Some of them fell on the floor like they were dead, like they passed out. Others, it was like overwhelming. Others were fearful of this angel appearing to them. You know, and some people say, well, I saw an angel. They miss the awe of it. I'm telling you, angels are awesome. Okay? So they're going to see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads, and there shall be no night there. Can you imagine not having any night? And they need no candle. You're not going to need any fluorescent bulb, any incandescent light bulb. You won't need them there. You won't need a flashlight. Okay? Neither light of the sun. For the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Isn't reigning a responsibility? If you want to reign in heaven, you better learn how to reign in earth. You better learn how to have the victory over, how to be an overcomer, how to have the victory, how to be triumphant here. Amen? Can we be triumphant here? Has God equipped us with tools and things necessary to be overcomers right here? Can we have successful lives until we get to heaven here? Amen. If you simply apply the principles and if you take God's word to heart, you can have what it says. You can do what it says you can do. Amen. So there's going to be awesome things that are taking place in heaven. All right? Go to Revelation 14, 13. Some of you that have retired from your earthly labors, you thought that was awesome, but wait till you get this retirement. Revelation 14, 13. It says, and I heard a voice from heaven. Guess what? There's voices in heaven. There's sounds in heaven. Okay? Saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. You think your retirement was good on earth? Wait till you get your retirement in heaven. Heaven is really God's rest. And Hebrews chapter 4 talks about how we can enter God's rest by faith. Heaven is a resting place. Heaven is a joyful place. Heaven is a peaceful place. Heaven is an awesome place. Heaven is a bright place. Now, I can't imagine. Well, I can. How some churches want everybody to be quiet when it's so loud in heaven. When there's so many things happening in heaven. You know, there's rejoicing in heaven. There's help in heaven. Everyone is friendly. Everyone is helpful. Heaven is an awesome place. And we all need to be there. Because heaven is your home. And you're going to cease from your labors. And your works are going to follow you. What works? The works that you've done here. Everything that you've done here to honor the Lord is going to be with you there. Because actually, isn't the Lord going to judge us for the works that we do here? We're going to be judged as to whether or not we did God's will. We're going to be judged as to whether or not the things that we did in life were motivated by Him or motivated by us. Everything that's not of God is going to burn up. All right? Now let's look at some eyewitnesses of people who have seen heaven. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Is this good? Today is an uplifting sermon today. Second Corinthians chapter 12. And this talks about the Apostle Paul. He said, "It is not expedient for me, doubtless to glory, I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body." So Paul had this experience, and it was such an incredible experience that he couldn't tell if it was in the body or if it was out of the body. How many know that if God wants you to take a visit from heaven, and he can take you out of your body anytime you want? Amen? Now, if God wants to do that, that's really up to him. I believe in heaven, but I've never been there yet. But heaven has come down to earth. And see, because Paul, he spent some time in the Arabian desert. If you read Galatians 1, it kind of gives his resume. He spent some time, and it was 14 years before he came to the church of Jerusalem. Okay? So it was during this 14-year time when Paul had gotten saved, and he was letting the Holy Spirit teach him and bring him into all truth. He went to the Arabian University. Amen? That's the desert university. And another graduate of his was John the Baptist. He spent some time in the wilderness. Elijah spent time in the wilderness. They all went to the wilderness university. Okay? And so Paul had this experience during that time. And he said how that he was caught up into paradise. See, heaven is paradise. And you'll find that out in some of the passages that we read. And he heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. So Paul was caught up into paradise. And when you think of paradise, you think of something that's pretty beautiful, that the climate is nice, it's very comfortable, it's very welcoming. Amen? That's what paradise is when I think of paradise. Well, you know, we know that the thief on the cross, he said to Jesus, "Don't forget me." And Jesus said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise," didn't he? So heaven is a paradise. And he heard these words, these unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to say. And of such a one I will glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he sees me to be, or that he hears of me. So, verse 7, he says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." So Paul had this experience of going to heaven. And when he was in heaven, he heard these words. And these words were just awesome words. They were incredible words. He probably didn't even have the language to express what he heard. But we know that Paul wrote half of the New Testament. Could it be that some of the things that Paul heard in heaven, he wrote in books? Amen? Because he was talking about a revelation. Now, this is how Satan works. Satan did not want Paul to be exalted above measure, so Satan assigned to him a messenger to buffet him. What does it mean to buffet? It doesn't mean to go and pick all the food that you want. I thought that's what it meant for a long time. No, that's buffet. It's said differently, spelled the same. You read that passage about the thorn in the flesh. The thorn in the flesh was not a sickness. It was not a disease. It was a messenger of Satan. Why was he assigned the messenger of Satan? Because Satan was jealous that Paul heard things in heaven that he can't hear. And he wanted to keep Paul down. So everywhere that Paul preached, this message of Satan came to stir up crowds that would ultimately beat up Paul. Now, I don't care what the scholars say. Some people say he had an eye disease. Well, let me ask you something. If you had rocks the size of your fist thrown at your head, you'd look like you'd have an eye disease too. Right? We know that Paul was stoned and left for dead. And, you know, it was the stoning of the rocks kind, not the other kind. So Paul was caught up into the third heaven. So we know that there's three levels of heaven. There's the atmosphere, there's outer space, and then there's where God dwells. Okay? So there's three heavens. The heaven of heavens, the holy heavens, that's where God dwells. That's where his throne is. It's beyond the two. Now, Satan is called the prince of the power of the air. Right? We know that. So he operates in the atmosphere. All right? And he has access to earth, but I'm convinced that he doesn't have access to heaven. How do I know that? Because Jesus saw him get kicked out. Jesus said, I saw him fall like lightning. Poof! So Paul, he had an eyewitness account of seeing heaven. Go with me to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. You know, when you talk about, when you look at pictures of your family gatherings, does it bring back memories? Well, I'm trying to create a memory in you for something greater than what you see here today. We were destined for something greater, something glorious, and it's a place called heaven, okay? Acts chapter 7, and let's look at verse 54. Stephen was testifying, and the people were upset because they couldn't argue with Stephen because he was so full of the Holy Ghost. Listen, you don't want to argue with someone who's so full of the Holy Ghost because they will win all the time, all right? And so they finally didn't like what Stephen was saying. Stephen was just giving them the gospel. He was giving them the gospel from Exodus to Revelation. And verse 54, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. It's amazing how the message touched their heart, but they didn't want to change their lives. So their only recourse was to deal with Stephen in the flesh and to kill him. But he, verse 55, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God and said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. Can you imagine though? Stones are being thrust at him. Okay? But he's so full of the Holy Ghost that he doesn't feel the stones hitting his body because his focus is upward. His focus is on the eternal and not the temporal. He's looking into the eternal, and he looks up, and he sees Jesus. Now, the Bible says that normally Jesus sits at God's right hand. Normally, Jesus is right next to God on his right hand, and he's sitting. But what Stephen was saying and what Stephen was doing was so great, it inspired Jesus to give him a standing ovation. Because Stephen refused to back down. He refused to deny the Lord. He was preaching the gospel, and he didn't care what they thought. He didn't care what they thought of him. He said, I'm going to preach the gospel because that's who I am. And he was preaching the gospel, and Jesus gave him a standing ovation. And he looked up. So we know that heaven is above. He saw the glory of God. He saw the splendor and the majesty of God's throne. He saw the lights. And Jesus, I could see Jesus in heaven going, yeah, Stephen, yeah, come on, you can do it. Woo! Not only was Jesus excited of what Stephen was doing at the moment, but he knew that he was going to be joining him very soon. Because Stephen was the first martyr of the church. And while he was being killed, God's grace just opened heaven to him. And he looked, and he was telling the people what he saw. They didn't want to hear Jesus at the right hand of God because they thought he was dead. Satan thought he killed him. until he woke up the third day and Jesus knocked him out, broke his jaw. Amen? So we have Paul, who was caught up into the third heaven, and he heard words. Now we have Stephen, who, while he was being martyred, he looked up and he saw the heavens opened. So we know that two witnesses, if I was presenting a court case to you, I would say Exhibit A, which would be Paul's testimony. Exhibit B, which would be Stephen's testimony. Now I'm going to present to you Exhibit C. John saw heaven. Go with me to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Let me ask you this. Do you have heaven in your sights? You may not be able to see it physically, but you know that it's there. You know that that's where you're heading. You know that that's where you're going. You know that that's why you're living. Do you know that you're living for heaven? You're not just here on this earth to take up space. You're not just here on this earth to wander about not knowing what your purpose is. You have been created by God, and while he created you, he put within you a divine assignment. And there's something on the inside of each one of us that cries out saying, that's me, that's me, that's me. That's your purpose. That's your assignment. All right? Revelation chapter 1. This is Exhibit C. I would like to present to you John's testimony. Don't they have eyewitnesses in court cases? And they promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me, God. Listen, God will help you tell the truth, but he will not help you lie. Just a little side note, won't charge you anything extra for that. Revelation chapter 1, and let's go to verse 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. See, they originally tried to kill John. They tried to boil him in oil. That was unsuccessful. He's not a crispy Christian. It didn't work. So what they did was they exiled him to this isle called Patmos. And it was there on Patmos that God had a revelation, or that John had a revelation from God. There was a song called John the Revelator. I forget how it goes, but I heard it one time. It's pretty good. So he's telling you of, he was there because of the testimony for Jesus Christ. Verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. How many of us are in the Spirit today? Okay, the Lord's day, that is today. Actually, the Lord's day is every day. Amen? And there's coming a Lord's day that's not here yet. That's the day that he returns. Okay? So are you looking forward to his return? Do you have your stuff in order? Let me just ask you this. If Jesus returned tomorrow, would you be ready to go with him? Amen. That's why we're here. Okay, so he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and he heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. So if you can imagine a trumpet behind your head blowing at full blast, what that sounded like. Okay, he didn't say it was a trumpet, but that's how it sounded. I mean, we've all heard a trumpet. Is there anybody that hasn't heard a trumpet? You know, I'm not a trumpet player, but you get the drift, right? So, obviously, heaven is not a quiet place. And obviously, it didn't hurt John's ears because Jesus didn't give him earplugs. Okay? And this is what the voice said. I am the Alpha, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book. So obviously there's things to see in heaven, and there's things to hear in heaven. Okay? And send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. These were seven churches that existed in Asia Minor, which is now called Turkey. Okay? And I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. So he was able to turn and see. Okay? And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot. Now they wear clothes in heaven. All right? So Jesus had a robe on him that was down to his feet. Okay? And girt about the paps with a golden girdle. So he had a golden sash around him. His head and his hairs were white like wool. White as snow. Now, we had a long winter. We had a lot of snow to get a glimpse of how brilliant that snow was, how white that snow was. Okay, after a while, I got tired of seeing it. And now that it's gone, I don't miss it. But he's describing what he saw. Now, obviously, this is Jesus talking to him. Okay? And his eyes were a flame of fire. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they were burned in the furnace. Now, let me give you some insight into that. His feet were burned in a furnace. It happened when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the furnace. And there was a fourth man in with them, and they were dancing, and the fourth man was the Son of God, and his feet were like burned bronze. He took the punishment, and he took the heat so that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego could live and walk out of the furnace, not even smelling like smoke. And his voice as the sound of many waters. If you've ever heard a crashing waterfall, many waters, it's loud. And when you're next to it, you can hardly hear yourself talk, or you couldn't hear someone else beside you say something. His voice was strong and powerful, like that of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shines in his strength. Now, we've all seen the sun at noonday, haven't we? It's pretty bright. So if you can imagine, this is what the picture that John saw while he was looking into heaven. Now, he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and this was a vision that he saw, but he saw into heaven. This was actually happening. Amen? Jesus was talking to him. Why? Heaven is real. Heaven is your home. This earth is not your final resting place. You have a home that's being prepared for you in heaven. And you've got to finish your course with joy so that you can go there. You don't want to go there early, because once you're there, you'll never want to leave. Make sure that you finish your assignment from God before you go. Paul said, I ran my course, and I ran my race, and I finished my course with joy. So he was able to boldly face death because he knew that he had done all that God wanted him to do. And there's no amount of time. The time is different for every person, okay? Verse 17. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, Fear not, I am the first and the last. Let me tell you something. When you're in the presence of Jesus, there is no fear. And we know this from countless times, from angels appearing to people, the angel of the Lord appearing to people. The first thing that they dealt with is fear. So fear not today. The Alpha and the Omega is here. The beginning and the last, the first and the end. Jesus is here. So Jesus touched him. He felt his touch. I am he that lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Hallelujah. And have the keys to death, hell, and the grave. And you know what he did with those keys? He went down to the hardware store and made copies for each one of us. Oh, didn't you know that when Peter got a revelation of who Jesus was, Jesus said, I've given you the keys to the kingdom? Well, how could he give him the keys if he didn't have copies? Amen? Write these things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars, which you saw in my right hand, and of the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels, or the pastors of the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks, which you saw, are the seven churches. So, not only he sees these things, but he also gets the explanation of what they mean. That tells me that when God speaks to you, he's going to explain it so that you can understand, so that you can do what he says. God's ultimate goal is for us to do what he says. Okay? Isn't this awesome? All right. Let me give you one more. Let's go to Exodus chapter 24. And this will be Exhibit D. Of an eyewitness of someone who saw. Exodus 24, and I want you to look at verse 1, then we're going to go to verse 9. And he said to Moses, come up unto the Lord. You know what? God wants you to come to him. He is calling you today to come to him. Amen? He is calling you into a close relationship. Closer than you've ever been with any person. Would you come today? Would you come if you're thirsty? Come and get something to drink. If you're hungry, come and feed on his faithfulness. If you're in turmoil, come and receive his peace. If you're depressed, I've got a cure for depression. It's called the joy of the Lord. If you're depressed, come and get joy today. If you're lost, come and be found today. If you're unsure, come and get assurance today. Amen? And if that applies to you, you'll be able to come in just a moment. All right? So God invites him to come up. All right? And then go down to verse 9. Then went up Moses and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and the 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw the God of Israel. And there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of a sapphire stone. And as it were, the body of heaven in its clearness. So as now they're going up a mountain. But how many know that God lives on Mount Zion? Did you know that the mountains are his footstools? Heaven is his throne and mountains are his. God rests his feet on mountains. Amen? And Moses had an invitation to come up. And verse 11, and upon the nobles of the children of Israel, he laid not his hand. Also they saw God and did eat and drink. And the Lord said to Moses, come up to me into the mount and be there. You know, you got to be where you are. Don't try to be somewhere else. When God wants to spend time with you, don't let your distractions rob you from time with God. You'll regret it if you do. And I will give you tables of stone and a law and commandments which I have written. Notice God wrote them. Okay? And you may teach them. So God gave Moses the message to teach. I always ask the Lord every time I preach, doesn't matter if I'm here or if somewhere else, say, Lord, what do you want to say to the people today? That's been my prayer for years. And he's always faithful because he knows who's going to be here more than I do. He knows what you need more than I do. Amen. And if it seems like I'm reading your mail, I'm not a mailman. It's just the Lord trying to get your attention. Okay? And so Moses rose up and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the Mount of God. And he said to the elders, "Tarry here for us until we come again to you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man have matters to do, let them come to them." And Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount. And the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai. Can you imagine this now? Moses is climbing up this mountain, him and Joshua, and they enter into this cloud. It's like, you know, you've been into an area that's full of fog. You can't see the car in front of you. You can't see maybe 10 feet in front of you. And once you get into the cloud, people who watch you go in, they can't see you anymore. Okay, this is what's happening. Moses and Joshua enter up because of God's invitation. And God's glory abode there, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Can you imagine? Moses had to stay in that cloud for 6 days without hearing what God was saying. How many of us would be willing to wait for 6 days in God's presence and not to hear him say anything, but he'll say something on the seventh day? So if you get frustrated on day five, you miss day seven. How many know that when we get invited into God's presence, we need to hang out there a little bit? We need to not be in a hurry, because after all, you're entering into eternity. There is no time in eternity. There is no time measurement in eternity. To the Lord, a day can be like 1,000 years to us, or 1,000 years can be like 1 day to him. But we think, you know, the time of 1,000 years, we can't fathom it because we don't live into the thousands anymore. But being with God, time has no relevance. Why? Because you're in eternity. And when you're in God's presence, it doesn't matter what's happening on around you. It doesn't matter what's happening in your life. You focus on God, and God will take care of the other stuff. Verse 17, and the sight of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. I mean, we've seen a fire that ravages a forest, and flames are everywhere. This is the kind of fire that this is what it looked like. It looked like fire, like a devouring fire. High flames, hot flames, different colored flames. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. I believe that God took Moses up to heaven. I believe that Moses got to see the tabernacle that God has in heaven so that he could build it on this earth. Now, this is where he didn't have the tabernacle, but God invited him up, and Moses went up. How many of us would be willing, when God invites us to come, would be willing to forsake all and come after him and come be with him, just to hang out in his presence? So we've heard from four people today how heaven is real. Heaven is your home. It's a place created for you. It's a building that God designed for you. It's a city. It's awesome in splendor. It's marvelous. It's magnificent in its majesty. And I want us to so get a picture of heaven that it will influence us here on earth to help others get there too. Listen, if your name is already written in the Lamb's Book of Life, awesome. But that's not the end of it. We are all responsible to God to be his ambassadors. Every one of us has a message to share with others. All you got to do is tell others what God has done for you. That's all. You don't have to convince them. You don't have to save them. All you have to do is tell them. All you have to do is put it on demonstration. Put what you believe in your life on demonstration and display. You know, like when you go into the stores and you see the people, they got a new product and they got their stand and they show you how it works. They show you how it can benefit you so that you can buy it. That's all you need to do is to be an advertisement for the goodness of God. Amen? So if you're here today and you need joy or you need peace, maybe you need to make heaven your home. Does everybody here know beyond a shadow of a doubt they are fully assured that if something happened to you tomorrow, you would spend eternity in heaven? Is there anybody that doesn't know that? If you don't know that you would spend eternity in heaven, raise your hand now, and I want to give you an opportunity to accept the Savior. That's the only way that you can get there. There's only one key, and Jesus is the only key that opens that door. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, is there anybody here who would be brave enough to raise their hand and say, I've never made Jesus my Savior, but I would like to today? I don't see anybody's hands. That means everybody must know that you're on your way to heaven. There is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Amen? Well, now that you're on your way to heaven, why don't you become all that God wants you to be until you get there? Amen? So if you need peace, if you need joy, if you need healing in your body, if you need a touch from the Master's hand, God is ready to touch you today. He's ready to give you joy. He's ready to give you peace. He's ready to give you that assurance that you need. And if that's you today, I want to invite you just to come and get it. Come and get what you need from God today. Why don't we all stand up? You know, there is a verse in the Bible. Jesus said, if you deny me before man, I will deny you before my Father in heaven. And so the reason we have people come up is to give them simply an opportunity to receive what God wants you to have. Amen? Now, I know sometimes it's hard to step out and to come forward, but I guarantee you it's worth it. I've done it many times in my life, and I still will do it many more times. But if you're here today and you simply need a touch from God in any area of your life, come and receive God's touch because he loves you. And until he comes again, we can still benefit from his goodness right now in Jesus' name. Those of you that don't feel the need to come up, I want you to stay connected. I want you to be focused on the Lord. I want you to be praising him. And pray for these people. Amen. Pray that they get all that they need. Amen. Because God is here. God is real. Hallelujah.